Welcome, everybody. I'm Joanna Lee, and with me is Maestro Tandon. Maybe you want to say something immediately, since the film left a lot of us with great excitement and want to hear a little bit more about... I mean, how did you choose to go back in 2003?
Life is too short. But the dream is too much. But the dream you always kept with your life... just a few of them. This is absolutely one of them. Especially yesterday, I was introduced to Shanghai Symphony Orchestra to the DC audience. Everybody gets so excited, but especially me, because that's the orchestra went to the village. You see the cars drive 4 days for those instruments and the equipment. And finally, you see all those minority and indigenous people carried one by one cellos, I mean timpanis, cross the field, mountains, rivers, and built the stage day and day. Finally, we got everything. Then no electricity. Then we find some paper factory from 10 miles away. Then we got, you know, everything. So then we did that. I mean, when I was a student, I was fascinated by the dreams of Bartok and Stravinsky. And Bartok always collect all those fantastic music from a farmer's peasant and made such a beautiful repertoire in our history. And actually, Bartok always wanted, if someday possible, he always wanted to take these pieces he wrote, play back for those farmers. When I was a child, actually when I was a student, I always think this is fascinating. This is almost like magical. Because you had a dream, you had inspirations from someone who has no idea what you're doing. And you take it and you're inspired, soaked, whatever. Then a few years later, when you finish this work, and you bring back to them. And the rest of them is like film. What you just saw is just like that. So yesterday we did the map again for the DC audience and to Shanghai Symphony Orchestra. It seems like another journey, because from Shanghai to the village is quite remote. And then from Shanghai to Washington, D.C. also is very, very remote. So it's very, very interesting, but it's so beautiful. Life is so beautiful when you have a good dream to be with. So this is one of them. I think this journey made my life much more beautiful. And certainly, I'm sure, I don't know how many of you saw last night's performance. Yeah. This technology, the video, the digital sound, the video, I imagine it could be possible if this piece played 200 years later or maybe 1,000 years later. That time, people will see exactly what kind of a sound, what kind of image, what kind of visual component, power, passion we had before. And well, you know. So that's the map, like ancient time. We didn't have map. We always hear the sound to find the destiny. And I think in the future, probably we're going to be same. Doesn't matter how internet and the computer service is going to be fascinating. But I think the map of the sound will be there always.
Well, apart from that, I mean, something... let me just start with the first question. In the film, most of you have seen, there is this wonderful young lady by the name of Long Xian'e, who is the singer of the Miao Feige, the flying song. And the thing is, that is what and where I have seen, for those of you who have seen the performance last night or who know this piece, this is the best marriage, the perfect marriage of live music, a musician who responds to somebody's wonderful ancient music, but captured on video when you were doing field work. when you were traveling in China a few years ago. How does that feel? I mean, this whole idea of time and all these travels, not only of space and distance, but actually of time.
That time when I get a commission from Boston Symphony and the Yo-Yo Ma, I was just traveling, horsing around in my hometown trying to find some old memories. Of course, like I described in the film, the stone man disappeared. Then I stayed there trying to find my sound map. Then I met this beautiful girl. And everybody's saying she's very, very famous Fager singer. And I said, what's me Fager? Oh, it's a flying song. And you can fly a song to the sky, somebody invisibly answer you over the valley, over the mountains. Then I suddenly, from that moment, I suddenly realized, my God, it's so magical and it's so shamanistic. Because in the local, the shaman's art always treated everything a spirit. So the stone can talk to the cloud and the water can talk to birds. Then I asked her, can you sing a song or flying song to somebody on the other side of the earth? She said, let me try. So from that end, I suddenly realized, actually, I can bring the technology through the digital video, synchronized the live orchestra in the future, and the ancient music she sang for us, maybe already 1,000 years, who knows, together. So from that moment, I had this idea.
It's truly time travel and at the same time preserving music and creating new music at the same time. Tanjun, I think in the map you have really done that, is that you have preserved music, but yet you don't let them just, I hope you would pardon my saying that, being sort of trapped in a very museum case type of a feeling, because you've actually kept the video very much alive when it comes to live performance.
The most difficult thing is the structure and the synchronizations, because I have recorded like more than 20 hours, beautiful, all kinds of music. Then the first thing is you have to choose 40 minutes, and who start first? And when somebody start first, like Beethoven, when he start, bam, 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 the rest of the business of composing is no longer belong to Beethoven. Because Beethoven has to be composed by those bam, 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 then second, bam, 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 the third, dun, 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 whatever. You see, sometimes music composed the composer is because the structure, the psychological flow, the cultural flow, the invisible road of contact with all the sound map leads you into a giant dream. Map is very interesting. To me, it's a new process. I got 20 hours, more than 20 hours, ghost opera, singing, instrumental, all kinds of organic self-made instruments. I don't know how to start. So I suddenly realized maybe I should start from a shaman kind of a ghost dance, since they had this culture in the local to have the ability singing to the next life or last life or talking to the birds or the water. So from there, I decided I chose ghost dance. North theater, ghost dance, which is the 5,000 years old kind of the origin of Chinese theater. And later on, I said, what is the second? What is the third? What is the fourth? What is the fifth? Then I said, the whole thing, you need to have a structure like a painter, like you write a poetry, like a write a novel. You have to have a certain thing. Then I said, what is the relationship between the orchestra and the video? And what's the relationship between the singing and the instrumental? Then I suddenly realized maybe I should have orchestra as a background drama or maybe have the video as a history, or maybe trade the cello as a witness, as the storyteller, or maybe have all those different spatial culture, like orchestra always representing the contemporary, the tape always representing the past, to have those 1+1 and equal to still 1. It's very difficult, you know, when Slatkin conducted the National Symphony Orchestra, if he has 2 instruments, oboe and clarinet together exactly, what he expecting is no longer oboe or clarinet. It's a new instrument. This new instrument, if it's played well, you hear new one. If played poorly, you still hear oboe is oboe, clarinet is clarinet. So what I really want to is to have all kinds of culture and all kinds of scenes happen here, video, acoustic, being whatever together, but as a one. So you have to invent the structure, you have to invent the way how to synchronize, you have to invent a lot of counterpoint method, because Bach or Beethoven or even Pierre Boulez or even John Cage never can give you this kind of answer. So what I did is I transcribed all the 20 hours first. Then I put my studio, all kinds of melodies, all kinds of format and colors. I trying to pick up a map, a very, very interesting map. Then I pulled out 9, actually original, the first premiere of this map. Now you see the DVD, or you saw last night performance, 9 performances. The first performance is 13 of them, 13 movements. Then I had a very, very interesting talk with Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo was very, very polite. He said, "That's very beautiful. Do you think it's good to put here or there?" So we're like a play Chinese chess.
Chess.
So I put here, and she said, "Maybe it's better here. Maybe it's better." So we did actually deconstruction operation, whatever, for the piece first. And for the second performance, the first 6 performance run in Boston is 13 movement. And come to Carnegie Hall, become 10 movements. And after Carnegie Hall's performance, the Yo-Yo talked to me. "I think you still can do something." I said, "It's too long?" He said, "Maybe it's too short." He's very, very polite. Because he never say, you know, he never want to criticize you. So I said, "Maybe it's too short." He said, "Maybe it's too long?" I know he's trying to massage my spirit, but I can tell there is something you can trim. So finally, before I went to the village with the Shanghai Symphony, I cut into 9. Now it's the version. 9 movements. The synchronizations, basically, it's very simple. You don't have to have a click track where the headphone, you know. What I did is just have all those video sound and the melodies being written exactly. Then treat them as a live musician in the context of the score. So conductor, you just look at the line as you look at the oboe or violin or other line, but there's a line in the video. It's very interesting. So this size enhanced in the score, it's no difference anymore. So when the conductor comes, it just everything is together, naturally together. So it's magical. It's I don't know, you must be seeing this DVD or was in the last performance. Many, many audience asking me why, how this could be together. Every single moment, every single notes, it's been together. So I think that's, actually I learned so much from villagers, from the technology, and also from what we need.
question is, many of us haven't actually seen this video, so just would like a little bit more context as to how this all came about.
Probably many of you already seen this video. In the very, very beginning, I was a student of Beijing Conservatory in 1981. So I went back to the countryside to collect folk song and I meet an ancient stone music player, the old man. He can play a single stones with all kinds of scale, all kinds of melodies, magical and ancient. And I want to study music with him. And he said, no problem. But after many, many years, I wasn't able to go back until 1999. It's almost 20 years later. I went back because I want to write a new piece for the Boston Symphony. And he died, I find. And also this kind of a way to play music is being vanished. Of course, there are some people trying to catch up, especially young girls, yeah, in the village. Then I stayed there trying to find him back. It was ancient, locally, always through music, trying to find something already vanished or something you cannot find it. So basically, I collect all the folk songs. I bought all those folk songs, come back to New York to find this map composition. And afterwards, I took the composition and the whole symphony orchestra went back to this village. And that night, and I also, of course, the villager has no concert hall, no electricity, no people, no audience. No. So they built, they spent a month, built a stage on the river, in the river, on the river. And then that night, you know, there were 30,000 indigenous people showed up everywhere, actually. Came for their first concert in their life.
It was a very moving moment. And again, you know, this is really a very interesting DVD, not only with the documentary that was just shown here, but also the live performance that took place right there on that riverbank. And not only just moving, Tandrin, I mean, the thing is, it really has created something totally new now in the medium. I mean, you're known as an innovator in all sorts of music and orchestra and so on. And this, the map, I think is the first ever piece that I see in which everything marries so well. And then not only that, but you are also helping a lot of people in the outside world, outside China, to understand how much there is still in China that we don't know about, in the minority music, in a lot of these types of traditions that are indeed dying. I know that you've done a lot of work and also you're helping a lot of people in preserving this tradition. Why is tradition important to you?
To me, actually, I always learned so much from the tradition that I find anything, if it's new, it must be a reason where it came from and where it want to go. And according to Zen idea, according to many kinds of philosophy in different culture, it's always a circle. So to me, the tradition is the resource of my imagination. And I always found, actually, tradition is become so important power in my composing. You know, every day I compose 6 hours. I never stopped in the last 35 years. But it's like a ritual. And I get up, have first tea or coffee, and go to my studio. The ritual start every day. And then the first thing is I always start with tradition. I need to train my feelings. I was talking to my professor. I said, can we train our feelings, not just train our technical thinkings? He said, it's nonsense. Feeling is genius thing. You come with it. But then I find actually it's not true. Feeling can be trained. Not just the feeling to the person next to you, but also feeling to the music, to the peace, to the baby you're going to make musically can be trained. Actually, it's kind of processing your concentration with imagination, but I find that the concentration and the imagination in the first hand, when you start your ritual of writing, it's always start with tradition. That's what my ritual, my way. So, you know, sometimes I have problem. If I have problem, I might put a piece of a CD, maybe Buddhist Zen music, maybe medieval music, maybe water sound from Africa, maybe it's a talking drum of, who knows? And sometimes my wife feels strange because the upstairs, the studio always have strange sounds coming. Yeah, I'm going to show you how this flying sound means flying sounds now, because that girl, beautiful girl, came flying sound to the sky, and after we met her in the village, now she sometimes travels with us. And after performance, she always trying to fly in song again in the concert hall, waiting the echo from her village. But now I want to answer you in music form. Let us try. Wendy Sutter, our soloist, is here trying to have a demonstration here. A counterpoint between different time, between different... I always imagine this recording is already 6 years old, but Wendy still can have a dialogue with her. But someday, maybe we all vanished. I'm sure will be many, many, many people still play or flying sound back and forth with her through the video. We see. After this, we continue your question.
Again. This is an excerpt from the map now with the video as well as a live cello soloist.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you. It's beautiful. So we just heard of Faker. This Faker, you say flying sign, of course, is through a different time, also different culture and different side of Earth.
Yeah, but then there is so much emotion and feeling in this presentation. Really, I mean, I know that she had recorded this 6 years ago, or you had recorded the singer singing it. But the thing is, even when Wendy was playing it live, it is as if they are having a dialogue. And also there's all this emotion about that too.
It's kind of it's shocking to witness my playing as my soloist meet the real girls. And why the Ansi Katuna actually, before, I don't know, what's your experience? Did you meet her in Shanghai? I remember, because before Wendy met her, she thought she already know her many, many years, because she practiced every day, and it's become kind of a format. It's like become Mozart already. Everybody, every day, practice. Suddenly, she was in Shanghai. Because now the girl is in Shanghai, because after we met her in the village, we asked her, what's your wish? She said, my wish is to study in Shanghai Conservatory. So now we support her to study music college in anthropomusicology in Shanghai Conservatory. So when Wendy see her, I remember it's like, it's, oh, that's her.
That's you.
That's her. Because it's like somebody you meet in the dream for many, many years, but you never realize actually this person is somewhere, always there. And when this person showed up in the real realm of life, yeah, it's shocking, yeah?
I just wanted to add to that also it was particularly moving because we don't speak the same language, but here I had been rehearsing with her in my apartment on television, watching her, playing back and watching with her. And so, yes, you built this incredible relationship with this image and this person, and so to meet her, and then we both standing and smiling at each other, and she'd come to the concert, I believe, and but not able to actually speak to each other, but we had felt that we'd already shared so much together. So it's quite spiritual feeling, very moving feeling.
It really proves that connections doesn't always have to be through language, and music clearly is a much more universal language than what we normally speak. And not only that, I've also met this young lady who is really, really lively and fun. And once you're able to break down the language barrier, you really see a woman who is very interested in music and very proud of her own heritage, yeah, as a Miao girl, a Miao minority girl.
So in the film, you see, I was trying to thank her father. I said, thank you so much. You passed all the beautiful song to her. So now she passed to me. Now I'm passing around. She actually was raised by her father. Her mom was dead when she was 8. So harshly, she was just living with her father and the oldest folk songs. Yeah. So that's why she became so famous, because she's singing every day, flying song. Maybe she was trying to fly all the songs to her mother. Or it's possible. Composer, to me, I respect indigenous music. It's like your respect the tradition. So sometimes the musician, some type kind of a composer, when they have a different tempo, different pitch, or something not fit the chromatic scale of the symphony orchestra, they might change the tone, have a different notation, try to twist it a little bit, bumble this way, you know. I didn't. This is another way. I have to keep the resource, the original, the organic. For example, some of the singings, actually, the singing, that's the life. They start one key. But when they're finished, actually, it's another key. But in my orchestration, you will find, you'll never notice that. But, you know, it's very, very interesting. When you start a symphony orchestra with the G major, then the finished is G flat major. It's very tough. It's because you have to invent certain things, because Bach or music conservatory never teach you how to do that. But you have to doing this through testing yourself, how our ear going to feed this. And this is in the eighth performance, you see six beautiful, beautiful girls. I never see any more beautiful girls like this. I'm sorry.
The eighth movement has some very beautiful Dong minority singers, another very famous minority group for their music, because they sing together and they have something called tongue singing, using their tongue and sort of moving it so it's as if singing la 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 la, but that's actually a special technique for their sound imitation songs, which is used in the eighth movement.
That song, the six beautiful girls start the vibrating their tone, the tongue, beautifully in one key. Actually, 3 minutes later, it's another key. And from orchestration point of view, it's big task. I don't know how to do it, but I cannot change it because I love it. No matter how they twisted the pitch, but it's real, you know. And it's raised a very, very avant-garde question for the composer. How could you really truly mingle yourself and technically and philosophically with this organic materials? When I start to write something commissioned by Boston Symphony, I had a very long talk with Yo-Yo Ma. I said, you know, next month I go to Australia. I prepared, actually. I want to do something with Aboriginal Australia people. And then I also visited Santa Fe, some of the American native tribes. And also, I'm very, very interested in that part. And I mean, as a new immigrant, you start to know, you get more and more interesting in the land that you love. You're going to leave forever. And you want to know where those people you love came from. And where you're standing, living on this land it belongs to who or where, and how you are going to fit. It's very interesting. Then Yo-Yo has said, you know, maybe you should do something musically you are familiar with. And Field has always a longing experience, haunting desire. I think maybe that's why I decided to go back. Then I told, after Yo-Yo told me about this, then I told Yo-Yo the Stone Man story. Then Yo-Yo said, go back, find him. So I went back, he died. So it's another story coming. But of course, maybe next step, I'm sure it's not going to be Hunan again, because if I do Hunan, people can think I'm crazy. And I cannot sell tickets anymore. So maybe next, I don't know, maybe it's American Indian, maybe it's Aboriginal, I don't know.
I guess depending on nature of materials, it's also different type of format. So I think everything is very open as to the future and music and new pieces by Tam.
And also, I find Wendy, when you play this, because actually her pitch is not always stable. I find sometimes you have to alternate your pitch around. That's perfect, because I don't think a good player never alternating his own pitch with another colleague to play together.
This has to do with children's songs and the nature of them and how they are practiced.
Certainly, of course, like I write water music. Why I write water music? Because I thought the first song for everybody was an infant or child. It's always heard water first in the room of mom. And that's why I also find that when people last heard, maybe it's water too. That's why from a Bible to a Buddhist sutra, everything related to resurrections or hope, creations, it's always through water image. And also children's. I still cannot figure out why all kinds of people and all kinds of language speaking children, chant the papa and the mama, it's same. No matter how developed yourself differently, or which part of the country or history it came from, why these things are same. Of course, music. I don't know. Is any international music singing by kids?
Or national singing by kids? It depends, because in China, clearly they have a national educational system, so there are things that are definitely homogenous. But then in their villages or at home, they certainly learn songs from their family. I mean, this is clearly how that young lady learned the figure, that is clearly from family and from her community. So community is still sometimes quite strong in certain Chinese, and especially in minority villages, because they are remote. Luckily, in China, when things are remote, when television or a lot of tourists don't get there yet, they manage to preserve possibly a lot more.
Actually, I invite those people first out of village to Shanghai to see the premiere.
The China premiere, which is August of 2003.
Yes. So before this, that's why I played this piece in Shanghai. Then I trying to... Some people suggest me in the film, you see, somebody suggest me, why don't you invite those people come to Shanghai to see themselves singing with the giant orchestra? So I invite them. They were with tears. First of all, they were shocked. They cannot believe this is... why this orchestra sounds with me together? And the 1 + 1 is still one. And secondly, they asked me to go to their village to perform. That's why I went.
And it was amazing, because within 2 months, you organized yourself, the Shanghai Symphony, and many more people to make this project and make this dream happen.
Yeah, for the dress rehearsal, the first night, we were afraid the local people are going to be so crowded and disturbing our rehearsal. So we did the rehearsal in the midnight almost. And we're trying to be quiet and don't inform anybody. But the midnight, 10,000 people showed up. We were scared. We said, what are we going to do tomorrow night? Then we called the police. We called the government. Then they take 400 policemen from the capital of the province. So that's why you see many policemen around. Because we were afraid the stage going to sink. We're gonna all the platform. It's gonna be a disaster. But anyway, the response is so enthusiastic. It's incredible. I told you already. It's my dream. It's my beautiful dream. This journey definitely made my life much more beautiful. I want to share with you. This is why we perform this. How many times we perform? We have like last night we play. The same orchestra went to the countryside. We play so much Chinese new music, avant-garde. But the last night I introduced this audience as tonight. Let me introduce you. Only one thing tonight is not Chinese, which is American cellist, Wendy Sutter. That's also very interesting for this whole journey, because Wendy also played in China for the Chinese people. I love that. I love things... be shared like this, I think music has many, many formats. You could be singing by yourself. And of course, if you're singing with somebody else together, then the format has to be changed. So the reason I want to take this folk art or indigenous music from being from... could be performed with everybody's. I thought I should choose an orchestra format, but orchestra, of course, is it's a Western standard chromatic instruments. Everybody is trained as this. That's a little contradiction with this another thousands old folk and passion. But you have to find a way. That's what I'm trying to do, which is my formula to my music. I always tell the Joanna is 1 + 1 = 1. That's my formula. It's my philosophy. And actually, it's the most difficult thing. That's the way trying to still keep the edge, keep the real stuff there. But meanwhile, you know, to play this piece with orchestra, the good thing is because orchestra is no longer a Western culture anymore. You know, in Tokyo, they have the best 11 orchestras. In Beijing, they have 32 orchestras. In Shanghai, they have 7 orchestras. Bangkok, Vietnam, everywhere has orchestra. So it means this orchestra is going to be going on forever. You know why? Because there was Mozart and Beethoven associated with the orchestra. The orchestra is like a gallery. You never can imagine the freer gallery is going to be flatted someday. It's impossible because there's so many good things from the past kept here. Orchestra is a museum. So I think the orchestra, from my point of view as composer of today, is not just to keep Beethoven, but also need to keep Chinese or folk or high and low cultures. So that's all avant-garde means. Avant-garde is not mean just kick you out, but avant-garde means to discover.
And another reminder is that Tandrun has written yet another piece, which is actually being premiered another 30 minutes, and that's why he has to be rushing over to the Kennedy Center again, a piece that is called 6 Images of the Zhou Dynasty, and it is written with and for the ancient bronze chime bells. It's going to be on stage at
if
the Kennedy
I
Center.
If I were you, I will catch this performance. I'll tell you why. This bells is unearthed recently, but this bell is from 2,400 years ago. And the Freya Gallery has some collections of those bells. It's completely chromatic, 12 tone, from 2,400 years ago. And from the Zhou Dynasty, it means also 2,000 years ago, there are some books talked about this beautiful images of this kind of music and the dance. I and the choreographer Dodo was fascinated by this description of the historic book. But where is the music? Where is the dance? Nothing left, only words. So according to this words, the choreographer and I did this collaboration. Only with the words and some of those curves and the images curving on the bell itself, and we made the music and the dance imagination all kind of intoxicated sort of notes from our mind. So this 45 minutes dance and the music is purely formed from our dream actually. And also from those curves on the bells, the sound, before the Jane, the curator of this Seclan Museum and the Freya Gallery, told me the upstairs, the music and the visual. It's amazing. She told me basically how much the visual design and also the sound design all coming along influence each other on a instrument birth. And this is a wonderful, wonderful example, actually. I wrote this piece. I never see it. Only till this afternoon, I saw the dress rehearsal. So if you don't mind, I have to catch up this performance because I never see it before. Later, but I can be there at 9 o'clock.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming this evening.